Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for tuning into today's edition of the podcast. We've got a lot to go over around the MLB postseason as the ALCS and the NLCS both have games coming up this evening. Game 6 of the American League Championship Series and Game 5 of the National League Championship Series. Both games should be very exciting. I'm hoping the Braves can close things out against the Dodgers tonight, but we do have a lot to talk about around those two series, plus some offseason manager news. The White Sox are looking for a new manager. One of the names is a little surprising to me. Trey might have a rant about the Yankees failing in the postseason again and some other bits and pieces here and there that we're going to go over on today's episode of Foulball Area. So with that, Trey, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Matt. You know, it's a Friday edition of the podcast because of some stuff outside of the pod. Couldn't do it on Tuesday this week, but glad to see your face. Just because of timing, we're back over Zoom having these conversations, but it's going to be a fun time talking about baseball. And Matt, we're really close to our favorite time of the year, the World Series.
Yeah, the World Series begins this coming Tuesday. Very exciting stuff. I'm a little worried concerning the Braves NLCS series against the Dodgers. We'll get into this a little more in a few minutes, but they have Max Fried and Ian Anderson, who I'm assuming will pitch either game 6 or 7 if it goes that far against the Dodgers. And then the World Series begins on Tuesday. So if they have those pitchers go Saturday and Sunday, I don't know who pitches game 1 in the World Series if the Braves should make it there. So that's something that I'm watching. I'm a little worried about, but the Braves have showed that they do have some other young pitchers that are capable of winning a postseason game. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. I'm looking forward to today's episode. Like I said, a lot to talk about. Some of the offseason news is really surprising to me, especially the White Sox managerial candidate. I just don't know what they're thinking over there in Chicago. A little bit of an interesting choice there. But let's dive into the postseason and the two series that are still going on. Start with the American League Championship Series. The Tampa Bay Rays are up 3-2 against the Houston Astros right now. They were up 3-0, could have swept the Astros, but Houston's not going down without a fight. They've made it into a competitive series now.
Yeah, absolutely they have. And it's the Astros are a good baseball team as constructed. Maybe they didn't look like it at some points, but they're maybe the most talented, rich team in all of baseball, and it's kind of showing. I think Jose Altuve looking out of character in the series was shocking. And then I think finally the Houston Astros have embraced the villain role, and I think that was something they couldn't really handle during the regular season, but it's something that they kind of have to at this point after the cheating scandal. Whatever your opinion about it is, it's generally they've become the villains of baseball, and so they're embracing that kind of role now, I think, better than they have, and it showed in the postseason. And man, what a game last night or yesterday afternoon. And then obviously Carlos Correa hitting that walk-off home run to force a game 6. And I don't think they're gonna win. I think it's so hard to come back from 3-0. But the fact that they're at 3-2 is still pretty impressive, where this team who coming in the postseason had no expectations from an outside sense, shouldn't really be in the ALCS. No one wants them in the ALCS, really. But it should be fun to see if they can make it a 7-game series. And if they get it to that 7th game, anything can happen. And that would be a legendary comeback again.
Yeah, I have to say I'm impressed with the Astros and the way that they've played in the postseason. I mean, they finished the regular season under 500, but they're still a very good team. And of course, it was only a 60-game regular season. So, you know, if it was a normal long season, they could have been under 500 at 60 games, but finished the season with a respectable record, a good winning record. So the fact that they finished 60 games under 500, I don't read too much into that, because this is just such a strange season that you can't put too much weight on anything from this year. But I am really impressed with the way they've played in the postseason. I don't think anyone should really be that surprised, because they are a good team. They have this core group of players. Despite the sign stealing and the cheating, they're still good players. Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, they are good players. Like, you, even with the sign stealing, you take that away, they're still really talented ball players. And so I'm not surprised that they have been this competitive in the postseason. But coming back from down 3-0, I mean, that's almost impossible. Only one team has ever done it in postseason history, and you probably don't really want to talk about that. But
I've gotten over it. It's 04, so I was 7, so it's okay. I've gotten over it. It's one of the great comebacks, and you give the Red Sox credit. It began, you know, the man who David Ortiz became in terms of one of the few DHs that probably is going to be in the Hall of Fame. So kind of have to respect the comeback at this point.
But it's almost impossible, because they are the only team that's ever done it. So it's going to be really difficult for the Astros to finish this series out. And tonight, the pitching matchup, Blake Snell is going to take the mound for the Rays, facing Framber Valdez for the Astros. So that should be a very good pitching matchup. It should just be a good game 6 tonight, whether or not the Astros can force game 7 or if the Rays close it out. Either way, it should be very exciting. I'm looking forward to that game tonight.
And I think it's only been like 2 times that it's been forced to game 6 when it's gone 3-0. Or it's not that much it's happened that it's even been able to force a game 6 when you're up.
Yeah,
it's so, been.
Yeah,
I was just going to finish my point.
The fact that they can even get to this point is really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact, like I said, it's only been like 2 teams that get forced a game 6. So hats off to the Astros. And then I think we need to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. They're about to slay 2 giants, really, in baseball over the last 5 years. And this is a team that has a very, very, very small payroll, a team that focuses on defense and trying to use different pitching matchups and really kind of revolutionize the way you look at a bullpen and whether you start with an opener and how it's doing is. This is a different style of baseball. They kind of, it was similar to the A's in Moneyball. They were like, we have to embrace this kind of style where we get advantages on the defensive end, because they said it's a lot easier to spend on defense because it's cheaper comparing to spend on offense. And that's very true. And I never really thought about that until I heard it. It's like, you probably can get a really good defensive third baseman a lot cheaper than you can get a really good offensive third baseman, because you can cover up defense a little bit better than you can cover up offense. But they're really good defensively, they're really good on the mound, and they have found these guys and developed them as hitters that are insane. I mean, a rookie's about to win the ALCS MVP, and that shows like their development and how them been able to grow as a franchise, and they're on their way to the World Series, and they deserve it. I mean, they were the best team in the American League this year, and you can't deny it.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you're referring to Randy Arozarena when you say that rookie is going to win ALCS MVP. And he's a guy that he came up in the Cardinals system and was traded to the Rays. So the Cardinals, for some reason, didn't really see the value in him. The Rays did, and now he's turning into a postseason hero for Tampa Bay, and he's having a fantastic series. 3 home runs against the Astros in this series. He hit one last night. Of course, Carlos Correa hit the walk-off home run that won the game for Houston, but Arozarena is having a really good postseason, and you're right. If they win this series, he will be MVP.
Yeah, also, Carlos Correa is having a ridiculous postseason. He had, 5 home runs in the regular season and now 6 in the postseason, so shout-out to him for how he's playing on the Astros side. But yeah, it's insane. And you gotta have to tip your hat to the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, I am not the biggest Rays fan, obviously, being a Yankees fan, but I'm not, like, at least they're not the Boston Red Sox. But it's very San Antonio Spurs like in a sense, if you look at the NBA, and they built a dynasty off of this. They're going to draft great, they're going to develop great, and they're going to find diamonds in the rough. It's like the New England Patriots way. They're basically building a team with a salary cap in a non-salary cap league and doing really well with it because of their limited resources from a financial point of view. That shows how good the Tampa Bay Rays front office is, but also Kevin Kiermaier, their manager, is a great manager, and they hired him when he was 36 years old, I believe. So he's been there ever since Joe Madden left. And you think about Joe Madden's impact on that franchise, taking them to a World Series, you can argue already Kevin Kiermaier has a bigger impact just because he's revolutionized how they look at the game, and it's working. It's clearly working, and if you were inside baseball, and I think both of us talked about this, you saw the Rays coming, like, over the last 2 years. Like, last year, of course, they made the postseason, and, like, this year, I think the 60-game season fit perfectly for their style, where they can they pitch off a matchup. They don't pitch. They don't have a set pitcher each day. They're like, what's the best matchup for my pitcher? And they're going to throw him out there. And it works in this 60-game schedule where you mismatch pitching. And it's got them right in the spot to be one win away from the World Series.
Yeah, they are up 3-2 in the ALCS against the Houston Astros. Game 6 is tonight. First pitch at 6:07 p.m. Eastern time. Framber Valdez on the mound for Houston against Blake Snell on the mound for Tampa Bay. Now let's talk about the NLCS. The Atlanta Braves are up 3-1 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. That will be going to game 5 tonight at 9 p.m. They're making it a late one for us tonight, but that's all right. I have to work the recap show for MLB Network Radio anyway, so I'll be awake. But the Braves, 3-1 against the Dodgers right now, and I could not be happier unless they had swept the Dodgers. That would make me pretty happy. But we're in a pretty good spot right now because they went up 2-0 on the backs of Max Fried and Ian Anderson delivering fantastic pitching performances for the Braves. Game 3 was a little rough. Kyle Wright gave up a bunch of runs in the first inning. He didn't even make it out of the first inning. The Dodgers put up 11 runs in the first inning of Game 3. So that was a little rough to watch. But then the Braves come back in Game 4. Bryce Wilson, who only has 7 career starts in the regular season, made his postseason debut, pitched 6 innings, gave up 1 run on 1 hit, walked 1 batter, and struck out 5. He outdueled Clayton Kershaw, a future Hall of Famer, a pitching legend. Bryce Wilson outdueled him in Game 4 of the NLCS last night. And the Braves offense came up big. 6 runs in the 6th inning. Doubles from Freddie Freeman, Marcelo Zuna, Dansby Swanson. Singles by Austin Riley and Kristen Pache. And then Marcelo Zuna had 2 home runs in the game as well. So fantastic offensive game from Ozuna. Great performance all around from the Braves. And now they're up 3-1 in the series. And here's the great thing. They have 3 chances to win one game and advance to the World Series. Tonight, probably a bullpen game, so it could go either way. But tomorrow night, Max Fried on the mound. And Sunday night, if it goes that far, Ian Anderson on the mound. I'm feeling pretty good about the Braves' chances right now.
Yeah, I am too. As someone who picked the Braves to not just make the World Series, but win the whole thing at the start of the postseason, I feel really smart right now. And yeah, it's good to see. As someone who grew up with the Richmond Braves, I've always got a special place in my heart for the Atlanta Braves, and so it's going to be fun to watch them hopefully get it done against the giant that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it was kind of funny yesterday explaining to my dad how the Dodgers were the best team in baseball all year and the Braves are winning 5-1. And I was like, yeah, that's what happens sometimes. So yeah, it's awesome to see. And I tweeted this last night. I was like, all offseason, people talked about how the Braves going to make up missing offense from Josh Donaldson. And then I was like, Marcelo Zuna said, hold my beer. And yeah, he's done it. And what a one-year deal that is. And I that guy has made a lot of money for himself coming into this offseason. And so I think the Braves have a great young core. And I think they keep adding pieces. And they should only get better from years on, because they have a young pitching staff that looks really good and is going toe-to-toe with arguably the best pitching in baseball in the Los Angeles Dodgers, especially with the best lineup in all of baseball. It's been really impressive so far. I mean, the Dodgers have had one game where they broke out, and you could argue that's just an anomaly in this series because the Braves have really been the hottest team these last couple of weeks, and it's going right into the World Series, where I would probably favor the Atlanta Braves over both the Rays or the Astros.
I got to tell you, I was a little worried after Game 3, the big 15-3 win by the Dodgers. Because, yeah, it was only one win in the series, and the Braves were still up 2-1 in the series. But I was thinking about where we go after that. And so Bryce Wilson got the start last night. And I got to be honest, I was a little worried because, like I said, he only had 7 career starts. Like 7 starts that he has ever made in Major League Baseball. And we throw him out in a pretty much a must-win Game 3 against Clayton Kershaw. And so I was worried about that. And then if they lost that game, then we have the bullpen game tonight. So I was really worried about the direction this series was going, even though it was only one win that the Dodgers got. But I have to say the Braves just really, really outperformed last night, especially Bryce Wilson. He was fantastic on the mound. The offense did, you know, what we expect them to do. So they didn't really outperform. They performed the way we expect the Braves lineup to go out there and perform this season. But Bryce Wilson, he exceeded my expectations for him in last night's game. And it was really a fun game to watch as a Braves fan. And I'm just hoping that, I mean, I'd want to see them close it out tonight and just go ahead and advance to the World Series. But if we have to, then I feel really confident about getting a win with Max Fried or Ian Anderson on the mound over the next 2 days. I do want to talk about Marcelo Ozuna's one-year deal, like you mentioned, because last year, the Braves bring in Josh Donaldson on a one-year deal. Everyone says, oh, he's old, he's washed up, he's not going to provide any meaningful offense for them. He has a great year. Over the offseason, everyone's saying, all right, Braves need to re-sign Donaldson to a longer deal. He ends up leaving, goes to Minnesota. This offseason, they bring in Marcelo Ozuna to replace Donaldson's bat in the lineup. Everyone says, oh, he's not really that great, he's not going to give them that much offense. He has a great year. I don't know if they try to re-sign him to a longer deal or if they bring someone else in on a one-year deal, because that seems to be working for the Braves. I would like it if they could re-sign Ozuna, but if there's another power bat free agent out there that wants to come to Atlanta on a one-year deal, I'd say we bring him in.
Yeah, I would. It works. Whatever works. I think Ozuna's proved himself to make a lot of money this offseason, and how dumb do the Cardinals look right now? I mean, they were missing offense, and Marcelo Ozuna could have provided it. And so, yeah, I think it was a great deal, all things considered. Maybe you keep Donaldson still, but I've not seen any holes defensively at third base for the Braves this year. So it is what it is, and you think about it, who wasn't available at the start of the postseason for the Minnesota Twins? And you could argue – that affected their team a lot in that series against the Astros, Josh Donaldson. So sometimes you kind of this is when you take the fan, you go, yeah, there's a reason why I'm not the GM of the Atlanta Braves right now. And that's kind of what you have to think about.
So Game 5 of the NLCS goes down tonight at 9:08 p.m. Eastern. Dustin May taking the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Braves have not named a starter yet. It is 10:24 a.m. right now. So as of right now, the Braves have not named a starter. I'm guessing it'll be a bullpen game. Just throw an opener out there and then go through the bullpen the rest of the game. But we will see how the game plan shakes out for the Atlanta Braves as they try to close out the NLCS and advance to the first World Series since 1999, I think, was the last time they were in it. But if they make the World Series, this is a little interesting fun fact. The NL East will be the first division to have every team win a pennant this millennium. Since 2000, no division has had every team win a pennant. But the Mets, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Marlins have all won pennants since 2000.
And if the Rays win, the AL East would be a close second. You just need the Blue Jays and the Orioles. Well, I guess the Rays have already done it in this millennium. So.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
So, still, the Blue Jays and the Orioles. So, but I don't see that happening. Just no offense to the Orioles. I can see the Blue Jays doing it in the next couple of years because of their young talent, but the Orioles got a little bit to go. But also, granted, a millennium is a very long period of time. So
I could have said century. You know, that would have worked too.
Yes.
That either way, you know, same thing.
Century is a little smaller. A
little smaller.
Millennium is 1,000 years. So, right?
All right. Yeah. Let's move on and talk about a little bit of off-season manager news. Well, first of all, the Yankees are keeping their manager. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Trey? Aaron Boone, does he deserve to stay in New York?
I think so. I mean, all he's done is made the postseason every year he's been in. He's one of the winningest managers in his since he started. I mean, the guy's never had a full roster for a whole regular season, like it feels like. So we'll see what happens. Has my opinion on him changed over this postseason? Yes. Am I the biggest backer of him now after some moves he made in the postseason by, you know, in game two of the ALDS, putting an opener out there in Davey Garcia and it not working? I didn't like that. Bringing a struggling Mike Ford in a key moment in the game five against the Rays. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still sold for now, but I'll say I'm cautiously optimistic it'll work out, but I'm on alert that his time is running out.
All right. Some of the bigger manager news, the Chicago White Sox fired manager Rick Renteria, a move that I don't really agree with. He takes them to the postseason for the first time since 2008, and they reward him by firing him. So I don't really get the decision-making behind that firing. But now they're looking for a new manager, and one of the names that has been thrown around there that they actually want to interview is Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa, who is now an advisor with the Los Angeles Angels. And La Russa, of course, one of the greatest managers of all time, won a World Series with the Oakland Athletics, won two World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's 76 years old. He's retired. I mean, he is an advisor for the Angels, but that's not too strenuous of a job. And now the White Sox want to bring him in and interview him for their manager opening. And I mean, he's an all-time great manager. He's a Hall of Famer, so obviously he could definitely help, and he has winning experience, and that's what the White Sox need. But he's 76 years old. He's retired. Just let him live his retired life. Find another winning manager.
AJ Hinch. Or Alex Cora.
Either of them. They're both cheaters, but they're both good managers.
That's true. Both AJ Hinch, though, clearly didn't take a part in that program. Just it happened under his watch. But yeah, I read an ESPN article today about why the White Sox should hire AJ Hinch, and I don't think that's a bad idea. I think he's used to that kind of building a young core from and taking that step to the World Series, and I think that would be the perfect hire. You could see a lot of similarities between the Astros and the White Sox and how they were built, and so I could see that get done. And that would be a good hire for them. For some reason, Red Sox fans still want the Red Sox to hire Alex Cora. I don't think that's going to happen. Shout out to Dusty Baker. I know we're talking about managers here, but he's done this postseason. And I think that was, looking back, the kind of Dusty was the perfect hire for the Astros as someone who can be that kind of father figure for them when the perception about them has changed completely. So that's just breaking down a couple managers who've done a good job in new places. And so who do you think they should hire, Matt?
I like the AJ Hinch hire. If they were able to bring him in, I think that he's obviously a winning manager. He's won a World Series. He's got some experience. He's really good at the analytics side of the game. I think he would be a great hire. And that's what the White Sox need, because they do have this young core group of talented players that is approaching the time when they're ready to win a World Series. And so they need a manager with winning experience. Now, I wish they had kept Rick Renteria, because I just don't get the reasoning behind firing a manager who has just taken you to your first postseason in 12 years. I just don't get that. And something to note with him being fired, he now has the rare distinction of being fired by both Chicago teams. And it's kind of bad timing for him every time, because he was the manager of the Cubs. They fired him and brought in Joe Maddon, and they won a World Series. Now he's the manager of the White Sox. They fire him right before they're on the cusp of having some postseason success. So really bad timing for Renteria both times that he's gotten fired from Chicago baseball teams. I mean,
maybe that's what they think will happen. They fire him, and that he went. They win the World Series. So who knows?
Maybe, maybe could be.
If that happens again, if I would just be like, yo, look. So you hire me for a couple of years, and then you fire me. You win a World Series, and so you just got to pay me a lot one in these couple of years. You always probably have a job.
Yeah, yeah, he could definitely use that as his pitch to get hired for his next manager job. Something that we've got to talk about, we've got to mention, I should have mentioned this on Tuesday when I put out the Mornings with Matt video. A little bit of sad news. We've lost a lot of Hall of Famers this season. Like, yeah, I know everyone's talking about how terrible of a year 2020 is, and that translates over into baseball as well, is we've lost six Hall of Famers over the course of 2020, and a lot of them just in the past couple of weeks. The players that have passed away this year are Al Kaline, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Tom Seaver, Whitey Ford, and Joe Morgan. And all of those players, all-time greats, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to their families and friends. Most of them, I mean, obviously all of them were way before our time. So as players, we just heard, you know, stories, read about them, saw stuff about them on TV. We never actually got to see them play. But Joe Morgan is the outlier there, because he touched generations of baseball fans through his play and then through being a broadcaster on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. So people like me and you, Trey, we grew up listening to John Miller and Joe Morgan on Sunday nights on ESPN. And so for him to pass away, that's the one that is more, that's the one that touched me more when he passed away last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember as a kid listening to Joe Morgan break down the game on Sunday Night Baseball. And obviously he was part of some of the best teams ever with the Big Red Machine and the Cincinnati Reds. So this sucks. This is the hard part of kind of life in general. And this year it's been turned up to 10, honestly, with everything. If you want to look at like with the pandemic going on, and 2020 just being a year where we lost literal icons, whether it be in the game of baseball, whether it be outside the game of baseball in sports with like guys like Kobe Bryant, and then you can even look in other spheres like Chadwick Boseman to Eddie Van Halen, who is an icon in itself. Like, this is all this year, and Joe Morgan gets up there with it. I mean, this guy was a phenomenal baseball player, a Hall of Fame baseball player, but a Hall of Fame broadcaster too. And you're right, touched so many lives, whether it was his play or helping people like grow the game through broadcasting. And that's something where both of us have gone into as broadcasters in our lives, is finding those passions. I know we talk about play-by-play guys a lot, but those analysts help too. I mean, without that, you kind of can't learn the game, really, on that kind of level. And so Joe Morgan definitely touched me the most, like you.
Yeah, definitely sad to see all those great players, all those Hall of Famers pass away this year.
2020, so, worst year ever.
Again, our thoughts and prayers to all their family and friends during absolutely these difficult times. Trey, I have one discussion that I want to close out today's episode with. The other night, me and Mariah were watching the Braves game. I think this was game three. We were watching it, and the Dodgers were putting up, you know, 11 runs in the first inning. It was a really
rough time. Who is Mariah for our guest? That's
Mariah is my girlfriend.
Who you live with.
Yes. So we were watching game three. The Dodgers put up 11 runs in the first inning. And she says, I'm thinking about becoming a Dodgers fan. And I was really offended. And she said, I just think it would be more fun if we rooted for different teams. And I was like, no, it's more fun if we root for the same team. You're a Braves fan. And so I just want to ask you, Trey, if you're dating a girl and you're watching sports, is it more fun if you guys root for the same team or if you root for different teams?
See, it depends on the different team too. Like, I couldn't date some people who are like a Red Sox fan. Like, I couldn't. I couldn't. But I think the same team, it's always more fun if you're watching a game with someone with the same team. Granted, talking smack if your team's doing really well. But, yeah, I think it has to be the same team. That is the only way. But Mariah's welcome to join the Yankees fan club if she wants to. Welcome to. If she needs someone to root with instead of you.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. It does depend on which team they end up rooting for. Also, which sport it is to me. For baseball, the Braves are my favorite team in all of sports. So I want her to be a Braves fan. And, I mean, she's not that big into sports. Like, if it wasn't for me, she probably wouldn't be watching any sports at all. So she shouldn't even – like, she should just be a Braves fan. You know, it's not that hard. But for Virginia Tech, that's another big one because we both went to Virginia Tech. And there are times, I don't even remember when this was, but she jokingly said "Wahoo Wah" to me one time, and I was like, take it back right now. Like, that's something you don't even joke about.
I couldn't date a Cavalier.
No,
it would be a struggle. It'd be a big struggle.
We also have a quote from Mariah that she wanted to be said on the podcast today. We were watching the game last night, game 4 of the NLCS. And I don't know which play it was. Someone hit a home run. They were running around the bases, you know, doing their home run trot. And she said, "He's making another left turn." And I said, "No, that's NASCAR." And she said, "Baseball is the NASCAR of sports with balls."
Is that supposed to mean it's boring? But NASCAR's not boring. Like, I love NASCAR, so I don't think it's boring.
I don't think it is either. I don't really know what she meant by that, just that it's the same concept, making left turns.
I mean, you do make left turns around the bases, but it's not a circle, it's a diamond. So you really make, like, left-right angles, but you can't really make a right angle. So if you think about it, like, if you make it straight lines, it's a bunch of right angles, I think, because it'd be like that. No, it's not. Maybe a tooth angle. Like, you make an angle instead of a turn.
I don't know. I was never very good at geometry.
I wasn't either. I think it's an obtuse angle because it's bigger than 90 degrees. So my point is you don't make turns, you make angles because it's a diamond. A diamond doesn't have circles. It's not rounded. It's straight lines.
All right. I will make sure to pass along the message.
Just draw the shapes for.
Yeah.
Make an oval and then make a diamond and say, look, you can't make turns on a diamond.
It's just a right angle.
It's a obtuse angle. Obtuse angle. There it is. See, that's an obtuse angle. Acute, right, obtuse. Welcome to geometry class on the Foul Ball Area.
And that's all we've got on today's episode of Foul Ball Area. I hope you guys enjoyed the postseason games tonight. Game 6 of the ALCS at 6 o'clock. Game 5 of the NLCS at 9 o'clock tonight. Trey, any final thoughts?
None. Just thank you to everyone for listening. Make sure you follow us on all social medias at Trey Lyle, at Matkins21, at Foul Ball Area on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think we have an Instagram.
Yeah, we've got an Instagram.
So make sure you follow us there for the latest up-to-date content as we're getting ready for the World Series. Should be a fun time here. One of our teams is still alive. The other decided to put Mike Ford in. In a key situation, whatever that means. For Trey Lyle, that was Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for listening this week to the Foul Ball Area.